Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
Mute button. Okay, can you hear me now? Wonderful. Oh, yeah, God is awesome. And I think that word gets used a lot, but I think it's very befitting that it gets used for God. And welcome this morning. We're starting a new series, The West City Way. And you might be thinking, when I say West City Way, you might be thinking, tickets? I mean, the West City Way. Like, is this Vision Month? Kind of is. And so I thought I need to give some context for this title, The West City Way. And the way I want to give context is from a story in the Old Testament of a guy called Joshua. He was on a bit of a pilgrimage himself. Joshua wasn't perfect. I actually don't believe he made all the right decisions. And I think the story reflects that, for me anyway, as I read into it, having looked through the filter of Jesus when I read about Joshua. But there's this particular encounter on Joshua's pilgrimage with the Israelites in the Promised Land where he encounters the angel of the Lord, it says. The angel of the Lord comes to camp and Joshua meets him, and there's this dialogue that takes place. Now, this dialogue has helped me frame and helped us here at West City frame what our vision is for our church. And I want to read it to you, so I'm going to just put it up on the screen so you can read along. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, it says, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for this servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua took off his sandal, and the angel said, "Put them back on your feet, Sting." No, it was a very special moment. If I'd have taken my sandals off, it'd have been like, "Oh, sure you're an image bearer?" I'm not sure. Anyway, here is this passage, right? And this really spoke to me one day as a leader leading a church. You see, this encounter, Joshua goes up to the angel of the Lord. And this might have been Jesus, but definitely a messenger from the Lord. And he asks him this question, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the reply is astounding. "Neither, but I've just arrived." And what hit me, unlike Aaron receiving words from the Lord from his GPS, what hit me when I read that as a young leader was not is God on my side, but am I on his? And you know what? Not God, will you bless what I do, but can I be a part and be blessed doing what you do? And that really has informed our vision here at West City. We will never each year get up and say, "We are going to do this. God is going to, you know, bless what we are going to do." We've really tried hard to say, "Lord, what is your vision? What has always been your vision for the world, for your followers? And how can we partner with that?" So we hope the West City Way is the Jesus Way. That's what we really hope. We're not trying to create something new. We're trying to follow something old and beautiful and profound. And I hope you feel safe in that. That, you know, as we read the scriptures, we're not trying to find this new thing from it. We're just trying to do what Jesus said we need to do as his community of faith here on this earth. So I'm mindful some of you are new and you may not have heard that. Some of you have been here a long time and you're aware of that, but it needs to be said. And so really, what is the vision of our church? Well, we have a vision of our church, which we hope is a vision of Jesus in 3, 6, and 16 words. Let me give it to you. Does anyone know what the vision, our vision is in 3 words? More like Jesus. Brilliant. How did you guys know? You just committed it to memory. Amazing. All right, let's get a bit harder. The vision in 6 words. Can anyone tell me what it is? Well done, Heidi. You're amazing. That's fantastic. Love God, love people, follow Jesus. 6 words. Heidi, come and see me afterwards. I've got a gift for you. I'll pay you later. What about 16 words? Is that 16 words? Because that's brilliant. No, but yeah. That is pretty much encompasses what we're about. Yes. But let me give it to you in 16 words. Hey? Yes. I'm about to. Yeah, I know. There's another one that you've never heard of. Only when you get to level 52 in our church. In the order. No. So here it is. To be and make disciples of Jesus Christ in authentic community for the good of the world. Let me say that again. To be and make disciples of Jesus Christ in authentic community for the good of the world. That is the West City Way. That's our vision. And, you know, these words are just words unless they're lived out, right? They're just words. But if they're lived out, if we love God, love people, and follow Jesus, something beautiful and profound takes place. You know why? Because we're not saying, God, we're doing this, come and bless us. But we are actually, we're not saying we want to, you know, hearing from God saying, you know, God says you can go your way or Yahweh. Someone once said that. It was quite profound. We're not saying, oh, we're actually saying, Lord, we want to be like you. We want to follow you. And we have to live it out. These are lived out things. You know, just as like the artist, those paints in the tubes of the artist are dormant until the painter pulls them out and puts them onto the canvas and creates pictures. So the words Jesus, love God, love people, follow Jesus, it's just dormant until we live it. But when we live it, it becomes like this kaleidoscope of beautiful picture that others can see and be a part of. I believe that. And we hear it. You may be here, even having visited in this last year or whatever, and come and you go, there's something beautiful taking place here. Are we broken people? Everyone said. Yeah. Are we messy? Everyone said. But we're following Jesus and we're trying to do the basics of what he said is important. And that produces, if we live it, a picture that others can enter in on and see and experience. And so last year we introduced a sort of a metaphor for that we hope we'll actually hold on to, Kel, isn't that right? For the rest of the existence of this community till Jesus returns, or you know, the walls fall down or whatever, and we all go on to do or pass away or whatever. Anyway, let's not focus on that. And the metaphor was the metaphor of pilgrimage, the idea of, you know, us as a community walking with Jesus. We're going somewhere, we're not camping, but we're walking. We want to leave some stuff behind, and we want to discover stuff about God and ourselves on the journey, and we want to be renewed as we go forward. And so the idea is that we're walking together, and we're going to pick that up again this year, and we want to really actually lean into that as this beautiful metaphor. Now, my kids are no longer young. In fact, they're middle-aged, 25 and 26. Well, not middle-aged, but, you know. If they were living in the Middle East, they would be old, all right? Just recently, our youngest Sarah and her boyfriend Lockie have been on this journey. They've known each other since high school, where he was besotted with her and she just thought, you're a chump, basically. But they met later on and they've been on this beautiful journey. And we love Lockie. And just recently while we're in Bali, Lockie had previously told us that he's going to propose to Sarah. And so they've hit this milestone where just towards the end of their holiday, he took her down this deserted beach and he'd organized it all, a beautiful dinner, and she was blindfolded and he was freaking out. And they got to the point and he'd asked that the people would put like in sort of like flowers, "Will you marry me?" And he got down on his knees and he said, "I had all this speech prepared. I just started crying." And then she started crying. And he said, "It went really long in my head what I was going to say." And in the end, he was kind of like just mumbled something about getting married. But fortunately, he had the ring and that was good. It was so funny. And we were there in Bali as well, so we got to celebrate that moment. The funny thing was, it was only later that as they just sort of the moment, you know, they're just enjoying the moment, they looked down at the "Will you marry me?" And this is what it said. So at some point in the future, those two are getting married, okay? I was like, I don't know, what does that actually mean? I'm sure it'll be a merry occasion. But when my kids were little, we celebrated another milestone. That was a milestone where they went from crawling to walking. Remember those that milestone, parents? And it's a big moment. In fact, it's a wonderful moment because I think the idea is that you learn to walk and then you walk to learn, isn't it? Our kids kind of get to that stage where they get up on their feet. And yeah, it's full of risk. In fact, when your kids start to walk, you realize how dangerous your house is. Isn't it true? It's like, you know, something from Final Destination. Everything can kill them, basically. And then you end up wrapping foam around all the corners of tables and chairs. And it's filled with risk. But it's also how they grow and how they learn and how they discover. And they certainly do that. And I think that is a beautiful picture of pilgrimage. We walk this year to learn. And yes, it's filled with risk. And it can be a bit scary that when we decide we're not going to just camp and be the same person we were, but we're desiring change, that yes, there's some risk involved. You know, it's risky for us to leave our old church, but I would never have met you if we hadn't. We would never have wound up here being a part of this beautiful community. It was a risk to go, though. It was a risk to leave. But it was also a beautiful time of discovery. And that's the idea here, that we walk to learn. That's pilgrimage. So I thought what I'd do today is just maybe, you know, how could we, like, make sure that we hold pilgrimage and the idea of walking central maybe over these next weeks, but this year, and maybe even beyond. I hope it becomes a metaphor that you can apply to your life. How can we stay on target? You know, like Star Wars is going down the trench. How do we stay on target? That was what popped into my head. And so I just want to give a few things right now. And the first one is, look, maybe we could be open to change. Be open to change. You know, as we go on pilgrimage, there is this idea that we're discovering new things. And a guy who I used to read a lot of, a guy called John C. Maxwell, he says this. He says, people change in four seasons. He says, number one, when they hurt enough, they have to. When they see enough, they're inspired to. When they learn enough, they want to. And when they receive enough, they're able to. And I don't know what season you're in, but I do know this, that as we have that disposition that says, you know what, I'm just open. That's all it is. That's all I'm saying. Just be open to the fact that maybe you'll discover new things about God this year. Well, isn't that wonderful? Discovering new things. I don't think we can discover everything about God, so it's going to be a multi-millennial journey of discovering that, but that we could this year. Be open. You know, I guess what's the opposite? Hard heart. change me if you can. You know, like what is that? Like, you know, maybe we can take a leaf out of our kids' ministries, your godly play. Maybe we can ask the question, I wonder. To be filled with wonder is a beautiful thing, isn't it? And it doesn't have to go away the older we get. So being open to change. I love... So I don't know what season you're in, but I hope that you could be open. I hope I can be open to this year. A bit flexible, a bit open. The next thing, stay on target in pilgrimage. Maybe is be open to doing it with others. You know, we get to be a part of a journey in community where we get to come together, not just on Sunday, but different times, and be reminded of this amazing, mind-blowing vision that God has for the world, that we would understand who we are as image bearers, made in God's image, who He loves dearly. I hope you learn more about that this year. I hope I do. Get an understanding of that. But then get to go out and share that great news, having been transformed ourselves with the world. There's something really powerful about doing stuff together. I saw even on National Geographic, right? They said that animals that partner with interspecies, partner with other animals, live longer in the wild than those that go it alone. Isn't that weird? You know, like you see the elephants with those birds that pick the bugs out their ears or whatever, and, you know, the crocodiles that open their mouths and, you know, I think birds, again, crawl in there. Those hedgehogs with the birds. No, no, no. I'm such an authority on nature. I mean... But I tell you, we do things, we'll go better on pilgrimage when we do it together. However, it doesn't mean that, you know, when you're walking, you always have to be together. There's signs where you just drift off and you're walking on your own, but then you can come back together to be helped. You know, we talked about the riskiness of walking, right, when you're a kid, and the risk of pilgrimage. There are challenges. And I love what... I love what St. John of Chrysostom said. It says, good to be on a pilgrimage with others, for the journey is more joyful and the hardships easier to bear. Can anyone say amen to that? And I love that picture. You know, we don't have to have just a spirit of lemons. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Isn't it terrible? I'm just, but onward, Christian soldiers. Even in crazy, I'm going to make up a date here, 15th century when John, even in that the crazy times there, he says, you know what? When you walk with others, it can be joyful. And I hope we laugh and I hope we cry together. I hope we do both. I hope you experience with others joy and hope that you have others that you can lean on as you walk. And I would encourage you, this year, do pilgrimage in community. Do it together. Be open to do it together. Maybe get involved in a home church or a connect group or just, you know, the West City way, just start something up and just start meeting with someone and walking. Other pilgrims who are on pilgrimage, just find someone or two because you'll have more fun and you'll be able to be supported in times when it's not fun. That's a goal. Find some walking partners. We're working hard this year, actually, aren't we, Kel, on community life stuff. And we have, you know, we love having meals, so we have dinners, and we've got our pilgrimage, local pilgrimage coming up in July, where we'll go walking down the southwest. And if you want to come, I think there's an expression of interest coming up in Feb about that. But we don't have a lot of groups, and the groups we have, everyone wants to get in. So we're looking to start new groups, you know, home churches. And maybe you can open up your home. Maybe that could be great. Or you might say, you know what, I could facilitate a group. I could open up my home for a meal and invite some people. And if you want to, and would like to know more, let's chat. The final one is one I just want to give you. The final one is be open to standing or discovering holy ground and holy feet. Holy ground and holy feet. When Joshua, I'll circle around to that initial passage, when Joshua met that angel of the Lord, he discovered something. In the encounter, he discovered he was standing in something holy. It caused him to understand that he could take his shoes off because he was in that holy place. And I actually believe that's part of pilgrimage. That as we journey, we encounter Jesus in other people, in other places. In taking that journey, that we all of a sudden, like Jacob, go, oh my Lord. You remember when he was sleeping and he had that vision? And he goes, oh my Lord, God was in this place. I didn't even know it. I know you know this, but can I say it? God is in so many more places than we ever realize sometimes. Isn't that true? You find him in the weirdest places. And it's so beautiful when you discover that moment where you're in that moment and you go, actually, this is a holy place. Yeats wrote this poem that said, the stones of the mountain are holy, and holy the feet of pilgrims, and holy the dreams of dreamers. May you discover this year that maybe you're on holy ground when you're out in nature, or being present to the moment you're in, you know, where you just are mindful of the moments. I hope you discover that maybe you're on holy ground when you're serving someone else and you go, this is a holy moment. And in that moment, that holiness will renew you and transform you. Or maybe it's when gathering with other pilgrims. You know, I became a follower of Jesus by gathering with other people. And I encountered Jesus there. And I never used to go for the spirituality. I went for the Tim Tams and the hot chocolate after they got together and talked. And God was there in the midst of the Tim Tams and hot chocolate, and I became a follower of Jesus. I'm forever grateful for that community who would meet. I want to finish with an encouragement from Psalms as we embark on the West City Way and pilgrimage this year. Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make its place of springs, make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Isn't that beautiful? Blessed are those on pilgrimage. Go for it. So this is our prayer this day and for us as a church community this year that, yeah, we leave some stuff. We discover some stuff about God and ourselves and each other. Man, I'm looking forward to it. And we're renewed. We actually are transformed by the holy presence of God and those holy moments that we encounter. And I wondered if we could say a pilgrimage prayer today. I was inspired by all the liturgy last week, and I thought, you know what, let's continue it. So I wrote my own poem. Roses are red, God's not dead. No, I didn't. Instead, I got ChatGPT. No, instead. Instead, I found this beautiful prayer, and I wondered if we could stand, because then I'm going to invite you to come to the table this morning. And maybe the act this morning is, as we pray this, that when we get out of our seats to come and receive communion, it's symbolic for us to saying, I'm starting my walk this year. I'm starting my walk. Or I'm continuing again the walk towards Jesus, with Jesus, in community. Maybe that can be the thing we do. Before we pray and pray this together, I also want to say, young Sam Papel, who's getting baptized next week at City Beach, you're all invited to come. He's beginning it, or taking that next step of the journey, right? Isn't it beautiful? He's saying, I've invited my friends and family and everyone, let's go along and cheer him on. And maybe you would like to get baptized at the same time. Oh, it's a bit risky. Yeah, duh. But it's also beautiful. Also, we have a couple here, Georgie and Josh, who are going on a bit of a pilgrimage as well. They're heading over to Canberra. Josh has taken up a role there, and Georgie, I'm sure, will be taking up many roles over there as well. And they're leaving us today. I think it's the last Sunday, isn't it? So I just want to say, we bless you today. That psalm, let it be your psalm as you go, that you'll turn wherever you go into green fields as God goes with you and meets you there as well. Yeah? We love you guys. Mwah. You better come back in 6 months. So let's say this together, shall we? Lord, we gather today as pilgrims on a journey. We come to you seeking direction, guidance, and strength for the road ahead. We ask that you would be with us, leading us, and sustaining us on this pilgrimage. We offer ourselves to you, our hearts and our hands, as we ask that you would make us instruments of your peace and your love. And everyone said, amen. This is a table. Thanks, guys, if you would come. This is a table not of the church, but of the Lord. And it's prepared for all those who love God and for those who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who come today for the first time, you who have tried to follow, and you who have failed, come because it's the Lord who invites you today, and it's God's will that those who want Christ should meet him here. Amen. When you're ready, and the guys are ready, why don't you come?
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression, go out and proclaim anew the old, old story, go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.